Please stay on the line and the next available representative will be with you momentarily. This call may be recorded for quality assurance purposes.
Hey, Masri.
Yes.
Hey, how you doing?
Good. How are you?
I'm doing good. Can't complain. I'm a little hungry. Didn't get to eat much on my lunch.
Me too. I gotta pee, but I'm trying not to use up on my break time.
Let me see. I can run a report and I can see how much time you've used today. Because I'll make this quick and I'll get you approved to go right after we're done here.
Oh, it's okay. My break is at 11:30.
Oh, yeah, your lunch. Okay. All right. Well, no problem. So I wanted to ask, since we sent you home, how's it been going?
I like it. Like, it feels luxurious.
I know. I've always, that's like been a goal of mine. I've always wanted to work from home. Never got around to doing it. Glad you like it. How do you feel handling the calls, you know?
I feel more confident because I talk really loud, and I can talk as loud as I want in my own house. When I was working at home, I felt like I had to speak at a certain level.
Oh, okay. Well, no, you know, in here, everybody is really dependent. I mean, I'm always told to talk up, you know, because I'm so quiet. But nah, that's fine. There are a few QAs I wanted to get with you on. I noticed from last week, just a review. There were some QAs that I found to be a little minor, like product knowledge, branding the specific product name, but I did notice that there was a few major deductions as well. Have you been checking your QAs?
Yes.
Okay, awesome. All right, and your emails also, right?
Correct.
Cool. All right. So on March 19th, I did notice for Alpha, Alpha Strategies, you were knocked off for not giving product knowledge. Do you still have like all the handouts like from training and stuff with the testosterone and dietary product knowledge and all that?
No, I got to go back up there and get it because I accidentally left it. I thought I brought it with me.
Oh, no need. No need. I'm going to send it to you in Teams. It's always handy to have, and really we don't want like a whole list of every benefit you can get from any product. Just work in a fact or two, and that works great. That product knowledge really is just to bring the customer back to their original goal of ordering, just to try and make it a little easier to work in your saves. And also, that kind of ties into branding that product's name. Instead of like saying, I see you have our skincare product, try to brand it, like the brand name, like Flora Skincare or Aspen Acreage CBD. So we don't deduct, or QA doesn't deduct for no product name.
How do you pronounce? My bad.
Which one?
The UBUTUN?
Oh, it's under Gilbert. I know it is. Hold on. I have a hard time with that one, too. It is. Ubuntu?
Ubuntu?
That's how I pronounce. Yeah, something like that. And, you know, as long as you try, some of these names are really weird. I've come across, I don't even know. But as long as you try, that's all we can ask. I mean, if it's not pronounced exactly correct, it's okay.
Look, as long as I got a Conalic.
That's a hard one, yes. Let's see. So, product name. Oh, I think I showed you two on Connective. Not sure if it was you. But if you're ever in question, go to where, in fulfillment, where you can do a reshoot. That little pop-up window that comes up, it'll tell you the exact product name also. That's a little cheat way to do it. Okay, perfect. Here's one. So I noticed on the 23rd there was a FritchNet call, right? And the customer was, of course, calling to cancel. And you offered all three saves, but the call was scored as an 80, and it was deducted for offering closed saves. And it's kind of an easy thing to go about because it comes down to wording on your saves. Never offer to cancel or agree to cancel, or if the customer is declining and they're like, cancel my account, and you're like, okay, I can go ahead and do that for you, but I have, like, say, a 35% discount. Never mention you can cancel before getting in all of those saves. It's a closed save. But it comes down to wording. It's actually happened to me a few times. So, also, when the customer calls in the beginning of the call, like before you ever have anything pulled up, and they're like, just pull it up, cancel, cancel, cancel. You're like, okay, may I have your information so I can locate your account to better assist you? Try to word it in that way. Might help with that.
Okay.
But any questions on the close save?
No, I want to get that caption you just said.
The what?
The wording you just did with the may I.
Oh, yeah. Okay. So yeah, if they're like calling to cancel, just cancel. Just ask them, okay, I'm happy to assist you. May I have your information to pull that account or those orders, to give you some help? But I wouldn't put it in the wording as in, okay, I'll get that pulled up so we can cancel. Even though you haven't had any account pulled up as of yet, if you mention to cancel before you get in all those saves, it would be a deduction.
Oh.
But that one was an 80, so
It
not
sounds
too
like I
terrible.
have a lot of deductions from last week.
Well, these were from the 19th, two on the 19th, one on the 23rd, and two on the 25th. Now, the ones here on the 25th, those are the more major deductions I was mentioning. These were auto fails. They were both zeros, which I haven't gotten this week's average score yet, so I don't not 100% certain what your week's average is yet. I should know by tomorrow. But these zeros, they do hurt. I'm gonna go over these in a little more detail and see if we can work this out. So the first one on the 25th, it was a Good Brands call. Let me pull it up. I wish I had a way to get you the recording. All All right, Mather, thank you for your patience. I finally got to where I had it notated. So what had happened is the customer had called in, right? And this customer actually made a bank threat. You had explained the terms as to what had happened. You explained the billing for the customer. I am going to try to pull this call and get it for you, but you explained the term, you explained the charge, and this customer was like, okay, well, will the charge stay on my account? And you did explain it was a valid charge. Well, the customer, she said, okay, well, I'm going to go to the fraud department at my bank, and I'm going to try and get the funds back. And this was at the very end of the call. She mentioned this. So immediately after the customer mentioned that, she made the bank threat, you branded the call, and that was the end of it. So I do need to, you know, make you aware it is pretty serious. This could lead to a chargeback situation, and we're trying to avoid that at all costs. That, you know, would cost the client customers to lose business. So anytime a threat's made, and pay attention to each script page that pops up with the call. Sometimes protocols do change. But if a threat's made, you immediately, if the account's not already canceled, you would cancel. You don't have to offer any more saves. And for this lady, say for instance, she made a bank threat. So I would have asked her outright, is there a current dispute? If there is a current dispute, you explain our terms, you explain the dispute process, and you advise them to have their bank call in for assistance with a refund. But if there is no current dispute after canceling, you would start whatever threat protocol it is for that campaign and work your way up until that customer is satisfied. If it's standard protocol and you have to go 35, 50, 75 full, I know it's a drag, but go through it until that customer's happy. If you have a campaign where they're lenient and it's like a 50 then full refund, do that. But don't leave that unresolved, because that could zef that angry customer, you know, not getting any assistance from us. Most likely wouldn't even try to call us back, honestly. They would probably just go straight to their bank and be like, hey, investigate this for me, and we're just trying to avoid that. Do you have any questions on what could be considered a threat?
No.
Okay.
I know that some campaigns, if you say, if they say local authorities, which is the police, some campaigns is not a threat. Some campaigns it is a threat.
You're right. You're right. And if it is, any calls you get, those threats would be listed specifically on the script. If you don't see it, wouldn't be a threat. Let me see. Okay. And this is the last one. Let me see. Scroll down a little. And then I'll let you go because I know it's about your lunchtime. So this was also on the 25th, and it was for Lit Media. And do you know, you can recognize an account and chargeback, right?
See, sometimes it says chargeback, and then sometimes it say blacklisted. I just take it for the same thing.
Okay, so a little bit of a difference. Here's why. Always review the notes. If that is in chargeback, it will be included in the notes. But say, for instance, a customer had an account from a few months back, and they were only billed one end of trial charge when they canceled and the other was declined. Say that account did wind up getting fully canceled. We have to blacklist it. That blacklist makes sure our system can't attempt any further charges on that account, you see. So yes, account and chargeback will be blacklisted, but just because it's blacklisted doesn't mean it's in chargeback. This lit media you call, this lit media call you got, actually.
So it was just blacklisted, as in no other charges can be done to the card from that company. Okay, so I have a question. Is there a way that, do I list that somebody is blacklisted, or does somebody else go in and list that they're blacklisted?
Say you handle an end of trial call, like I mentioned, and you need the account stopped because it's canceled. To have it blacklisted, you would place their information on a Google Doc. And somebody would then go back in and have it blacklisted.
Why would I need to do that when I can just cancel them out with the by clicking on the order?
Say they have the keto and the cleanse, right? And there's an order number for that trial shipping charge. You would click on that, cancel that, and then say yesterday they were billed end of trial charges, right? One was successful and the other was declined, and they called today. So now that you cancel the order number that's next to the trial charges, and you would cancel that order number that's next to the successful billing. But see, that declined billing for that second end of trial charge, you wouldn't be able to go in and cancel. It'll keep trying to rebill unless it'll try to rebill until that amount is collected, unless we have it blacklisted. So if there is like a declined secondary product, I'll always pass it to the Google Doc to have it blacklisted.
Oh, otherwise that decline is going to keep trying to go through.
Yeah, it'll keep trying, and it'll eventually go through. But see, that's something that would be, you know, our bad, because the account was then canceled. But if it wasn't blacklisted and it rebills later, that's a bad mistake, and that angry customer, again, could potentially take it to their bank if they didn't feel like contacting us back after they had already called us to cancel, you know.
So I just go to Google Docs and put blacklist account?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You would put the customer's information, their order number, please blacklist account, blacklist decline charges. And we'll have somebody go in and take care of that.
Okay.
But for this slip media call, just to let you know, because this is something I don't think I mentioned. This call was opened at 25 seconds, and I believe that's a 10-point deduction. We request that all calls be opened within 10 seconds, the first 10 seconds, unless the customer is speaking. That's just so they know you're on the line and ready to help, and being professional is what that ties into.
Was that when nobody was answering back to me?
Actually, the customer was calling out for you. They called out twice, and you did answer at 25 seconds, and then you jumped right into helping the customer. It was a lady. I believe it was a lady. There was a customer calling in about having returned their product. Now, unfortunately, Lit Media, they don't take returns. So you did confirm that with her. Mentioned that we don't take returns, and it was confirmed because after you explained that, the call kind of abruptly ended. It was confirmed via QA running a report through 5-9 that you disconnected on the customer first. I did go back and I checked in the Teams group, like the IT group for at home, and I was checking to see if you were having like any IT issues. Do you remember if you were?
I was having IT issues. I just don't remember what they were. No, at one point I couldn't hear the customers or they couldn't hear me.
Okay. Okay. Because disconnecting, you know, first on the customer, our reports just show a 1 if you did and a 0 if you didn't. And next to this call, it was confirmed with the report that on your end it was disconnected. I do want to let you know, anytime, and it doesn't matter if it kicks you out and you're let right back in, please post it in the IT group in case something like this happens, because that's the only way I can go back and verify. If I see, you know, your post and it matches with the same time frame of the calls, I'll fight it for you. And, you know, definitely have no problem doing so. But we do need to be aware, if you're having any connection issues, internet issues, if your power goes out, anything that's going to interrupt the call. So, you know, QA doesn't find it. Or if they do, we can help. That is
okay,
the reason
well,
behind the 0 for that one.
Sometimes I disposition when I know that the customer doesn't have any more questions and I end up dispositioning first. Does that still take points off? Like, do they always have to hang up first?
No. No, ma'am. I do that. As well, you know, if you go through the call, you handle it correctly, you brand the calls ending, and say you're just finishing up your quick notes, and the customer is still on the line, they haven't disconnected, as long as you've branded the call, you're on mute. I mean, you do need to disposition and move on as quickly as possible, but you dispositioning first before they hang up, it isn't going to result, you know, in this and a 0. The reason this one did is because, again, the call dropped so abruptly, and what it seems to be, what it could appear to be, let me fix that, is call avoidance. How do I put this? Because we couldn't verify in Teams that there was an issue and it looked like you had hung up, and that's what led to the 0. It just looks like you're not wanting to assist. I don't think that's the issue here. I really don't. If you ever have an IT issue as well and you're disconnected from the customer, put it in the groups or the IT group. If we have to, we can go back and find the phone number. If you're disconnected in the middle of assisting a customer, because you would have to call them back and, you know, finish the account.
And another thing, sometimes customers call in and after I've gave them like a full explanation on why I need their information to pull up an account to assist them, they still refuse to give me their information, so I just hang up.
Please don't do that anymore. I know retention is not the easiest thing, and really it comes down to the customers.
But I can't help them if they don't.
This is very true. There is nothing we can do without an account pulled up. You can explain, you know, you're more than happy to assist with what they're requesting. We just need to find some information for them. Otherwise, there's nothing to adjust. I mean, if they are adamant and they won't give you anything, and if they're asking for a supervisor, I mean, you can send them to the escalations queue. You can let them know as well, you know, my supervisor is going to ask for the same information I'm requesting to be able to assist you. But if they don't give you anything, I mean, really, we can't hope.
But I'm saying, what do I do from there on out? Do I just still sit on the line?
Try your best to get something from them, a first name and a zip code. I always try to do this first thing. I'll take the customer's number, phone number from 59, and I'll put it in the search criteria while I'm asking for their name and their zip code to see if anything pulls up. Or I'll have it already pulled up to be quicker to verify it. You can try to run their phone number that they're calling.
And if an account comes out, just call them by the first name.
I would ask them, be like, sir, ma'am, do you know of anybody with the first or last name of da-da-da? They're going to be like, oh, yeah. Okay. And then you click on the name, and then, I mean, if you have to, I would just say, you know, I see we have this email on file. Do you know of anybody with that email? If they say yes, okay. Well, there, you know, you've already confirmed the account with two pieces of information. Now you know you have the right account, and you could then go on to a system. But, again, if they don't give you any information and they refuse to, you can send them to a supervisor. If they don't want anything else, typically they'll just hang up.
Okay.
But you yourself, don't disconnect on them first. That if QA caught that, would probably be a zero also. Don't want that for you. I haven't seen any shown up yet, so that's definitely good. So, want to let you know, this is nothing too major. Again, a few minor and bigger infractions, but I think, you know, you're more than capable of handling these calls. I see it in you. Just need to let you know some things that could use a little work. But due to a few discussions we had before, this is just the first step in our system. It's going to be a developmental coaching. It's really just to put it into writing, show that I have spoken with you on this, and for you to be able to view, you know, in writing what we have discussed in case there is some questions or concerns on it. It's going to be entered into the system as well. Do you know how to sign off on that?
No.
Okay. Do you know your agent dashboard under Internet Explorer?
Let me see. Is it called Agent Overview?
Yeah, that one. I always call it the dashboard.
Okay.
But that's the one, and you can check your QAs there also. But right beside where it says pending write-ups, as soon as we get done, probably by the time you come back from lunch, I just need to go in and sign it. I'll send you a follow-up reminder email to do that also. You'll see beside pending write-ups, it'll be a 1. You can click on that, and it'll just ask you to sign in. And on that next page, you can pull everything up and read it. You can sign it. You have a spot for, you know, your own notes if you have any questions or concerns on what we went over. If you don't, you know, feel the need to sign it, that's fine as well. I would like for you to, but if not, you can leave it as is. But did you have any questions on anything we went over?
No.
Okay. Well, look, I'm going to take a second here, let you get on to lunch, and I'm going to send you a few handouts. I'll find you might find handy, okay?
Okay.
All right, Mother. Well, look, enjoy your lunch, and I hope you enjoy the rest of your shift, okay?
Thank you.
You're welcome. Bye.